Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
You know, the other day I was just going over the website, just looking at some things. Did you know, now not just me, even though I carry the, I carry the predominance or the main load of the preaching and teaching, but because that's part of my call. But did you know there are 31 pages of audio messages available on that website? There's an average of 10 sermons per page. There are 310 hours of preaching on that website. 310 hours. That's the messages that have been preached over 3, 4.5 years. Almost 5 years. We're going on 5 years. 310 hours of devil-destroying seed. Amen. Glory to God. So sometimes people are like, well, I went to the church, but they didn't really preach the message I needed. Go to the website. They're even marked. You can on the if you go to the sermons tab, you can go to the right side of the sermon page, and there are titles all the way down through, because typically I preach series and teach series. But there are individual messages as well. You can find, and there is there's tags on the messages. If you're looking for a specific subject, you can just click on it, and bam, it'll take you to where those things are mentioned. And you can find a message, amen? And then if you want, you can share it all over your social media stuff, because it's all social media friendly. You say, why do you do all that? Because the greatest gospel net that the world has ever seen is called the internet. It was the printing press, then it was the radio, then it was the TV, now it's the internet. You know, I have a, this is just a side note, but I have Google Analytics on the website. I know this is deep. But Google Analytics on there. Do you know where most people visit our website from? A mobile phone. Which means I can preach to anybody who has internet access on a phone at any time. All they have to do is just go click, and Jesus is going, whew. You know, for all the bad things that are on the internet, we're a light, and you're a part of it. So if you've sown into the ministry, you've made this possible in your support, you get reward for what the ministry is doing. Praise God, amen? It's so good. You say, why do you say all that? Because you got to think this way. You got to think bigger. You got to think outside your world. You know, it's easy to wake up, go to work, go home, do what you need to do at home, take care of the kids, go back to bed, wake up, and you got to break that out of your mind and go, no, my money's working while I'm sleeping. Amen? All right. Should we start a new series? I'm excited about it. I wasn't going to go this direction. So if you're writing down or taking notes, you can write down Before the Foundation is the title of this message that we're starting this morning, this series. It's called Before the Foundation. You know, sometimes when you're in a particular circle, you teach on certain things. But how many know the Holy Spirit's the teacher? And you do what He tells you to do. And so this morning I want to start this series. And if you want a subtitle, you can put The Parables of Jesus. And sometimes people think, could there be anything good out of the parables? Oh, there's some good stuff. And I was studying the first one. You know, there are some 35 parables. You wouldn't think that, would you? I started looking them up. They're all there. Some are shorter than others, but they're all there. So the Bible contains truths that bend our natural mind. How many have noticed that? It can frustrate the natural mind to think about the fact that Jesus was a part of the creation in the beginning. He existed in eternity before He ever came to the earth as a man. Now, if you think about that for a while, your mind will start going, wait a minute, and your heart will go, yeah, that's right, that's right. Go ahead and think about that. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have no beginning. Now that'll really mess with your natural mind. Because you guys are, I mean, we all are used to birth and, yeah. We're used to that. So we think, well, when did God get created? No, no, no. Creator. That means that the Lord has always existed. He never has a beginning, and He never has an end. Praise the Lord. That's good news. You can go to bed tonight and sleep fine, because God will be awake. Amen? So he says, it says this, they have always been and always will be. Jesus is the exact expression of God in the earth. There is no greater example. When Jesus walked the earth, he would often teach people in parables. There is a passage of scripture found in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 34 and 35 that says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Now listen to this. This is what I want you to hear right here. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So that's where I got my title right there. Before the foundation. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. In other words, let's continue with this. In this series, we are going to take a look at some of the parables of Jesus in order to discover the truth that existed before the world was formed. That messes with your head, doesn't it? Jesus did not arrive on the scene without a download from heaven. Come on. You do realize this. Now stick with me here, okay? If you could divide out in your mind, put the world right here, and then put God over here. Before this ever existed, Jesus was here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They had a meeting, and they said, what do we want? What do we need? I want to create humans. I want to create... So there was this whole plan. How many of you think God got into the middle of the planning stages of the universe and everything that's in it and went, ooh, we didn't think about that. No, he's the ultimate, he doesn't miss a detail. And so they spoke, or Jesus spoke what was in the heart of the Father, and then the builder, the Holy Spirit, put into existence. You say something came from nothing. No, something came from unseen something. Do I need to say that again? Something came from unseen something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that you're the result of an unseen substance, so now you're a seen substance. That'll help you if you think about it. People say, that trips my mind. Oh, you got to let your heart teach your mind. You got to let the Holy Spirit teach your head. Renew, transform. See, this is why this will help you with faith. Because you'll think, by his stripes I was healed. There's a substance of healing beyond what you can see. And your faith will reach in and take that and bring it to your body. Come on. And then the unseen substance will change the seen substance. Okay? So Jesus, and this creation's going on, and then through the process of time, as time progressed. Now they already knew this because Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So if you could spread time out and you looked at it and you looked at the ages before the chart that we see as the span of time is as we know it, before that was ever set into place, Jesus said, I'm going to come right here and reveal myself according to the words that I've already dispensed through the law and the prophets prior to this point. And those words that were spoken from flesh vessels, from us, through natural man, were spoken in the Spirit. They gave pathway to the Redeemer to manifest, well, we say during Christmas. Right? See, the devil probably thought, the king is coming. That's a baby. And we know from Paul's revelation that if the enemy would have understood what he was doing with Jesus, he would have went, let's just leave him alone. That's what he would have done. But he didn't understand it because he's just a flesh devil. He's not that smart. How many think God can outsmart the enemy? Well, I'll just tell you this. The end is already done. The devil's not rolling. You know, sometimes the church acts like the devil thought of something new. No, he didn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He might have packaged it, tried to package it new, but he hasn't come up with anything new. God's going, I know how to unravel that. I already disarmed that. I already took care of that. That's already done. We have to tap that resurrection. Anyway, so Jesus said, I'm going to come right there. And while he was on the earth, when he came as a man and he stood with us, he uttered words that were before the earth was ever created. So he came as a man and spoke prophetically by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, words that would give us understanding that we wouldn't have because we're finite where we're at. So in other words, you don't have to be confused about anything. You just have to have faith in God's word. Because he spoke things from before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation, before it was all ever here, Jesus understood, had not, things were already, there is, see, and this trips up the natural mind, but God's going to help us with this, amen? There are things in the spirit and things beyond this life that you cannot just fathom with your natural mind, but it's been there for a long time. Your head goes, huh? And your heart goes, yeah. You say, why do you keep saying it like that? Because most people function here. And the life of the Spirit is functioning here. And here teaches here. Here teaches here. And that frustrates the natural mind because, and most people, even believers, you know why? Because we've been trained to function here. When you are a spirit first, you are a spirit first. That's why Paul spent so much time on talking about the importance of transforming the way you think and getting that understanding to change inside of you. So let's look at the first three truths that will set the stage here for the series. Three truths, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, three truths that help us set the stage in this teaching. Matthew 13, 34 is the first one. We've been hitting on this. This is the truth. The first one is, this is the truth that existed from before creation. Matthew 13, 34. I'm going to read it again. All things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Let me read this to you in the in a different translation here. Whenever Jesus addressed the crowds, he always spoke in allegories. He never spoke without using parables. He did this in order to fulfill the prophecy. I will speak to you in allegories. I will reveal secrets that have been concealed. I will reveal secrets that have been concealed since before the foundation of the world. In the Bible in Basic English, it says this, I will give knowledge of things kept secret from before all time. The Living Bible says this, I will explain mysteries hidden since the beginning of time. That's really good. The Message says, I will bring out into the open things hidden since the world's first day. Does that make sense? So what is this book? This book is a revelation of what you don't see, but yet you see the effects of it all around you. See, this book is more than just ink on a page. It's a man. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So this gives you understanding deeper or beyond what you normally would see just in the natural. Let me give you an example. How many remember where Jesus cast a demon out of a young boy who was what we might call epileptic? Right? Jesus, you know, or even, you know, I could take another route here too. How about the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus expressed and carried a truth that is not seen or understood by the natural mind. It's a revelation from the heart. It's a reality of the spirit realm that is beyond what you see. So, let me give you an example with the woman with the issue of blood. How many doctors had she gone to? And how much money had she spent? And she touched Jesus and it all changed like that. What did she do? She got out of her head into her heart. She saw a man. Now, they didn't know Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, some of them believed it, but they didn't know for sure. And she maybe especially didn't. But what did she hear? She heard about Jesus of Nazareth who's healing people. And in her mind, she went from her head. She went down the list in her mind. Well, I went to this doctor and nothing happened. It cost me this much. And I went to this doctor and nothing happened. It cost me this much. And I went to this doctor and nothing happened. It cost me. And they told me I can't. There's nothing that I. And I've been bleeding for 12 years. And then she hears about Jesus of Nazareth and she says in her heart, I'm going to touch him and I'm taking a healing. You say, how do you know she took it? It was a sneak attack. She pushed through the crowd. Jesus didn't know until he felt the power go out. It's not like she walked up to Jesus and said, hi, I'm the woman with the issue of blood. Man, I really got a problem. Could you heal me? She snuck in underneath and went, I'll take that, and tried to get out. And immediately she felt in her body that she was healed. So in other words, just like you can, she demonstrated, just like you can, she reached into what she didn't see that has substance and brought it to what she... You notice in that chapter and in that verse, Jesus did not emphasize his deity. He emphasized her faith. He said, daughter, your has made you whole. That's good, isn't it? And if her faith can make you her whole, your faith, glory to God. In other words, there came forth truths that were not known to man or understood until Jesus revealed them. Now I'm going to go to a scripture at the end of this and you'll see how it ties together. But it's just powerful. Psalms chapter 78 verse 2 says, a parable and a proverb are hidden in what I say. An intriguing riddle from the past. So in other words, the idea here is it's a hidden thing and now it's going to be revealed. And he did it in a parable. Proverbs 25:2 said, God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory. This is the Passion Translation. But the honor of kings, we are priests and... Yeah, he's the king of... Yeah, he is. He says, but the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. In other words, you can't jump into the word, which is eternal. You can't jump into eternity and hit the bottom. It's unending. It's amazing. It's powerful. This is where you find joy that won't be hindered by your circumstances. Right here. So, God, through Jesus, in parables, spoke things that were hidden. They were hidden. They were not readily just seen, but they were hidden and they were concealed. Why? They're not hidden from you, they're hidden for you. Okay? They're not hidden from you, they're hidden for you. Now, I know I'm laying foundation here, but you got to stick with me on it, okay? So, the first truth here was simply this, is that truth has existed, or Jesus revealed truth that has existed from before creation. Secondly, the second truth you need to understand here as far as a foundation is understanding the parable found in Matthew chapter 13, also in Mark 4, will help you understand all the parables. So the statement that was made about parables and hidden things precedes the parable of the sower. How many have read the parable of the sower before? Okay? And so this parable, Jesus said, you need to understand it in order to understand all the parables. So that's why I chose to start there. I don't know if we'll get into it this morning, but at least we'll get a good head start here. Mark chapter 4 verse 13 said this, and he said to them, speaking of the parable of the sower, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So he made it clear. Jesus explained the parable and emphasized that knowing it was basic to understanding all parables. Unless our hearts are prepared to receive the seed of the word, we cannot grow in grace or knowledge. Did you know that? You have to be open to receive. And we're going to look at that here in just a second. Any truth found in God's word has the potential of producing 100-fold in our lives. Understanding this parable and how it works is key to walking in the fullness of the promises in our lives. The truths revealed in this parable are to be applied to every promise that is respectfully ours in the covenant. These are key principles to understanding any truth. In addition, the potential results are shared when the truth is applied. In every truth discovered in Scripture, apply the principles found in the parable of the sower, and you will have understanding. All right? Thirdly, so first we need to understand, or first we talked about that God, Jesus came to reveal things that were before the foundation of the world. Second, we need to understand the parable of the sower, which we're going to get to in just a second. And then third, we decide the level of understanding we receive. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. We determine the level of understanding that we receive. Now let me prove it, okay? I'm going to give you a scripture, all right? Go to Matthew 13:10, in case you're over in Mark 4. Matthew 13:10, it says this, "And the disciples came and said to Jesus, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" Now don't let that verse, don't take that verse out of context and you think in your mind, he just disproved himself. Now, I'm not that dumb. You think I would go into a gunfight with a knife? Oh, no. I go in with a gun. Amen? That's it. You got to plan ahead. You got to read ahead. Amen? "For whoever has," verse 12, "to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance." You know, that doesn't sound like socialism. I didn't name a political party. I just read a scripture. That is unfair, Jesus. I love it. All right. Well, if you want to look for it, it's all there. "But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Ooh. Well, that's not very seeker sensitive. Come on. Is that true? Well, I don't know if I believe that scripture, but you believe John 3:16. We don't pick and choose. He picks, we follow. "Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown.'" Does that sound like God's withholding? Or does that sound like unreceptive? Sounds like unreceptive to me. Their ears are hard of hearing. How many parents have said that to your kids? You hard of hearing or what? "And their eyes, they have..." Who closed them? Why are they not receiving the mysteries of the kingdom? Their heart is dull, their ears are shut, and their eyes are closed. I don't want this said of me. I don't want God to look at me and go, "Sean, open your eyes. Unharden your heart. Get the wax out." I want him to look down and see a soft, repentant, tender heart toward him with eyes that are wide open and ears that are wide open. Listen to me very carefully now, whether I want to hear it or not. See, what oftentimes people say, and this is not always the case, but this can be the case, and we need to realize this. When you're, how many have prayed for somebody that their eyes would be opened? Maybe they have them fixed shut and don't want to open them. And from what I can see about the Lord, and there's more than one place, if you choose to lock the eyelids down, He'll let you. So then he says this. I'm just going to read over verse 15 again. He says, "For the hearts of the people have grown dull, the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should," what? "Heal them." Listen to me. Their healing is being hindered because of their lack of repentance. Do you see that? They don't want to see. How many of you, I've experienced this. I've been in ministry for a few years now, and I've experienced this. I have had people come to me who are desperate for God to do something, and then you give them what the Word says, and they walk away mad. And then you know what the enemy does with those people? Because they refuse to repent and be open, the enemy says to them, "See, it didn't work. That preacher lied to you, and God doesn't love you." And they grow even harder towards God. Well, see, and we've said this here over and over and over again. Guys, in the equation of this relationship, God is never the detractor or the problem. There is only one problem in this relationship between me and God. I'll talk about me. I'm the problem. Now, is He touched with the feeling of my infirmity? Does He understand where I'm at? Is He merciful and compassionate? Yes. And it's all readily available to me as long as I'm repentant. But if I lock my eyes shut and turn down my spiritual ears and make my heart hard, God will go, "You've chosen." And people will shake their fist at God and shake their finger at God and say, "You sent these people to hell." And the truth of the matter is Jesus has redeemed all of humanity from past, present, and future. It is done. He doesn't need to do it again. And men choose. And God makes permanent what we choose. That will never change. So growing dull, they grew dull. What does that mean? To grow dull means means gross, or to thicken, or to make thick, or fatten, to stupefy or render callous. How many have met somebody and you thought, "Man, they got a thick head. That boy's just thick-headed." Come on, we use these words. We use this stuff. Dull of heart. Calloused. Hard. No tenderness. No pliability with God. Your relationship with Him is dry and dull. Hard. Thick. How many have ever, you've had, like guitar players will get this, but even those who work in construction. You work long enough. I got preacher hands now. They're baby soft. But when I worked in construction, I get calluses on my hands. And I'd take a knife and cut them off. I'd get them loose and... How many guys know what I'm talking about right now? All the girls like, "I don't do that. I just don't do that." I know. You guys got some machine with a file on it. You know, grinding things down. We don't do that. Guys don't do that. At least I don't. And if, guys, if you do it, don't come tell me. I don't want to know. Dull and calloused. You can, and you say, "It doesn't hurt." No, it's calloused. It's dead. There's no feeling in it. These people had become that way. Hard of hearing means heavy or dull. It has to do with being sluggish. How many of you have wondered, like, you've wondered in an area, why isn't this changing? But you've been sluggish in going after the answer. You get sluggish in hearing. I don't know what's going on. The enemy is working and your flesh is working and your heart needs to be adjusted and you need to get the earwax out so you can hear the answer. Guys, I don't know how to say this any other way. I'm believing God for better ways. You have to have a heart that's yielded to him. And a heart that's yielded to him will go to him and go, Lord, no matter what you say to me, I'm going to receive it. Come on, think about this. Think about Saul and David. What was the difference between David and Saul? David repented. Saul made excuses. Well, I just can't get free of this addiction that I have. The Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free or make you free. Maybe you've become sluggish in your hearing. Or maybe there's a dullness to your heart that needs to be changed. Now, when we get through all this, and I'm going to stop on the next one, on the eyes. I'm not going to get into the parable of the sower. But guys, listen, the parable of the sower concerns, and I'm going to teach it through all three different gospels. I'm going to hit everyone. I'm going to separate them out and hit all the grounds and all the gospels, what they say about them, so that we get a rounded, good, balanced view of what's being said. But guys, the promises of God, from what I can see, the two main hindrances to the full manifestation of the blessings of God in our lives, according to the parable of the sower, is hard hearts, bad ground, and then all the hindrances. Weeds, cares, desires for other things. But let me say this, all of the things are controllable in our world. We have the ability to dominate in the resurrection of Christ within us. We have the ability to dominate our flesh. Not just, oh, I made it through barely. Does that sound like more than a conqueror? Maybe Paul didn't know what he was writing. How many know Nike products? If you don't, you've had your head in a hole. You've been hiding out. Nike, that word, is conqueror. And more than a conqueror is hyper Nike. Or it's like Hoopa Nike or something like that. In other words, you are above a conqueror. And Christ has made you more than a conqueror. Well, I've heard that word for a year and nothing's changed. That's not okay. Something should change, right? Now, you got to be careful with this because the enemy will try and condemn you. But that's not what we do around here. But we will bring conviction. And you say, what's the difference? Condemnation won't give you a way out. Conviction will. That's the difference. So when I go and I'm spending time with the Lord will say to me, Sean, you can't do that. I say, Lord, but you know this and this and this. He said, I don't care about that stuff. I gave you the resurrection. You can't do that. Right. I won't be dull of heart. I won't be sluggish with my ears. I'll look at it with my eyes. I'll keep them open and go, ooh, that cuts the flesh off. And the Lord will say, Sean, that's just the flesh. That's just the flesh. I know it hurts. It's just the flesh. You're going to have a healing when this is all said and done. I'm going to go ahead and cut that out, stitch it back up, and send you on your way. Amen? So hard of hearing shows a heart attitude. This is not a natural issue, but rather an internal heart issue. In other words, you can hear with your ears, process what you hear, and decide to harden yourself to what you hear and reject it. So, in other words, what did Jesus say? They have eyes to see, they have hearts to understand, and they have ears to hear, but they're not listening, they're not understanding, and they're not seeing. Why? Because they're choosing not to. They're choosing not to. They are choosing not to, which means what? We can choose to or not to, which means what? We can determine the level of understanding that we receive. Closed eyes means this, to shut down or to close down. The word is used of people who are in obstinacy, rejected the words of God. So to shut down, how many have ever experienced that before? You're talking, how many have ever witnessed to somebody before, or shared the Lord with somebody before, or done something like that? And it's like they shut you down. That's what you experienced. People say, I was trying to witness and the people shut me down. Don't feel bad, they shut Jesus down. Jesus went to his own hometown and could do no mighty work there because of the unbelief. Because they looked at Jesus as, oh, that's Joseph's boy. I know him. We went to the same grade school. You say, that sounds too simple. It's exactly what it was. We grew up in the same synagogue. He put gum under the pew. I don't think they had pews. I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, I know him. Why am I going to listen to him? Dull. Sluggish. Eyes shut down. We don't want any of that. We don't want any of that. You don't want, we don't want any of that. We want the Holy Spirit to go, hey, you can make it. And we go, yes, I receive that. The Holy Spirit, He won't leave you in bondage. See, He glorifies Jesus, and therefore He glorifies the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, He who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's the one that authored, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's the one that uttered the secrets that were hidden from before the world was ever created. We have such an advantage. I don't wonder where I came from, and I don't wonder where I'm going. I don't wonder at all. My dad's in heaven. My grandpa's in heaven. My grandma's in heaven. My grandparents on my mom's side are in heaven. They're all in heaven. What are they doing? They're enjoying themselves. They are now, they were, you know, people say, well, they're in my past now. No, they're in my future. See, if all I'm tied to is a pile of meat and bones, but see, we are not piles of meat and bones. We are spirits first. So when I get done with this life, guess who's waiting for me? And they're not bored. They're not in heaven strumming harps. Come on. Get the precious moment stuff out of your mind. Can you imagine Jesus showing up at the end of the age? He's got all these little chubby cherubs with little wings on their back playing harps to take out the enemy. Give me a massive break. No, God's bigger than that. He got some angels. I mean, big old boys. Like one or two take out hundreds of thousands like that. I'm going to serve that God. Not a fat, chubby one that just sits there. Bald. You know, my God never falls over and I never have to pick him up. Hey! My God was crucified, killed, and then raised from the dead. My God holds the universe like that. Aren't you thankful? Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. So as we get into this, we're going to see, and I love this parable of the sower because it overarches, so it hits everything. We're going to see, and there's going to be faith and hope that rises in you, expectancy to go, you know what? That area of my life where, let's just take this issue that we just finished, talking about not worrying. You cannot worry. You can have a hundredfold harvest off the peace scriptures in your life. Isn't that good? Now, see, I say that and people, you know, they go, yeah, amen. But in their natural mind, they're thinking, boy, it's been a long time since I've had that kind of peace. I know, see, you're resting on your thinking about it, not God's and not His ability. But I'm telling you, you can plant and water so much seed. Now, I did this with my second house. We planted our own yard. Do you know the best weed control is? A real thick yard. I seeded and triple seeded that thing and watered it and watered it and seeded it and watered it. And that lawn, everybody that came there said, man, this lawn is amazing. What kind of weed killer do you? And I used some weed killer. My neighbors, during dandelion season, you'd have thought they just had yellow grass. And they're on all sides of me. And it would try and creep in, and I'd go out there and shoot the thing and say, die in the name of Jesus. And walk around and my grass was thick. Why? I had planted so much good seed and watered it, and the ground was doing its job, and whew, here it comes. In fact, I had to quit weeding and feeding because I'd have to mow it twice a week. You know, in the Spirit and in the promises of God, you want to have to mow twice a week through your ground. Amen? How many faith came into your heart? You heard the word faith is in you. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you bring all things to our remembrance. You remind everything. I thank you that you've been speaking to the people, even while I was speaking, Lord, that you were ministering to them according to the grace that you placed within me as a pastor. I thank you, Father, that there will be fruit and testimony out of your word. Lord, I pray for the people that they would be strong, that they would be bold, and that you would fill them and refill them with your Holy Spirit to be able to speak the word of God with boldness. I ask you and thank you, Father, that you are stretching forth your hand and to work healing and strength in each person's life, that your word is renewing and transforming the way they think and impacting them for eternity. And Lord, as we go, as you told the Apostle Paul, Lord, it is your great pleasure to reveal Jesus through us. So we go as your hands and feet, not only to minister to our immediate family and our immediate those around us, but then also to the rest of the world. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you guys need prayer for anything, please come. We will pray with you. Don't forget about Wednesday night. God bless you guys. Men, don't forget about the fishing trip.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.